This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I'm a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me is a fellow contributor, Chris Wilson. Chris, the 2021 NFL season is nearly upon us as we sit here recording on this Wednesday night. By this time tomorrow, the NFL season will be officially kicked off and the first game will be nearing its conclusion. How you feeling, man?
About that game? Yeah, not very good if I'm a Cowboys fan. Both these teams feel a little overrated to me, but I'm going to pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over anybody in the NFC East. But in general, I'm feeling excellent. Thank you very much for asking.
Sure.
It's always been one of my favorite times of the year, as much as I love summer. I mean, summer is horrible around here since they decided to build the Capitol on like a swamp. So there's basically no humidity at all. But I do like taking vacations during the summer, back when we could do that. But even when I can't go on vacation, at least I always know that September brings me some NFL football.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm excellent.
Absolutely. Good to hear. Yeah, I'm excited. I actually bit the bullet this year and signed up for the NFL Sunday ticket.
Good man.
Because I can get it in my area without having to pay for DirecTV. So that was good. No free ads, but you know, there you go. So signed up for that. Looking forward to being able to watch football from the comfort of my own home and not have to go places to do it. Really what it was a math problem. I figured out how much it would cost me to go someplace and buy a drink or two and have something to eat and da 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 da. And I'm like, well, if I divide the number of games that I get by the price of the NFL Sunday ticket, then it ends up being cheaper to get the Sunday ticket and stay at home. So there you go.
You know, speaking of that, they do have a educational discount.
Yeah, I tried that. It's only for students, actually, and they have a system to check. I did check to see if I was eligible for that. I was not, unfortunately.
I am well aware that they have a rather robust confirmation system.
Didn't quite work out for me. I thought, you know, I have an EDU email address because I work at a college, but it didn't work out for me. But
it's a shame you don't know any students.
Yeah, I did try. So anyway, as we discussed on I suppose it was the last episode or the episode before last, we're taking on a little bit of a new plan of action here for the 2021 season, and we'll see how it goes. Got some different things up in the air, but we'll get to that as we work throughout the year. But as we said, the plan is to cut this into sort of two separate episodes, as opposed to try to get everything into one. And so this is our first preview pod of the season. And then, you know, in the follow up at the end of the game on Sunday, we'll return and have some reactions to how the game went. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to just really focus on just the one thing that's coming up at a time, and then we'll react to it after the game is over, and then we'll push this game away and we won't think about it again unless, of course, it ends up having some repercussions on the season in the long term, which I don't anticipate that it will. Week one is where we start, just like everybody else, where the Niners will travel to Detroit to take on their old buddy Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. We're going to take a little bit of time, first of all, to sort of set the stage. Kyle Shanahan did meet with the media today, of course, to sort of address where the team is heading into the opening weekend. Couple of key names that are that did not practice during Wednesday's practice session due to injury include Javon Kinlaw, Emmanuel Mosley, and Kevin Givens. That didn't appear that Kinlaw and Givens were major concerns as far as their ability to play, but I think, what did he say? He said that he's holding out hope for Mosley or something like that, which is not really a phrase you want your head coach to be saying about a starting cornerback heading into the first game of the season, but there we are. So hopefully that he'll be in good shape to go. The other bit of news was that he mentioned those dreaded letters IR, regarding Jalen Hurd.
That's the abbreviation for his middle names.
Relating to Jalen Hurd, who appears to be heading there to just kind of give him some time to get ready. That seems to be the understanding, right? That they're going to put him there to kind of allow him to try to work through these sort of lingering issues from the ACL surgery that he had last year. I don't know. I was all for keeping him around, and because you don't want to like be the team that let him go and then he goes and figures it out somewhere else. We're definitely nearing the end of this experiment, from my perspective. I don't know what you think about it, Chris.
I think it's been a total disaster, but the one thing that could make it worse is letting him go and him blowing up somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. Like I was reading something today. It was like, anybody who gives the 49ers a hard time about this is just out of their minds. Like they picked a player and it appears that from his skill set that he would have been a useful player. It's not their fault that he had a back injury and then freakishly tore his ACL after returning from the back injury. I mean, these are completely random, fluky things that have happened to the kid. And it's not like this is not a miss in the way that, like, I don't know, missing on somebody like a Reuben Foster was, where the red flags were all there and you took them anyway and that blew up in your face. Like, who could have seen this coming, right? so it's just unfortunate for Hurd, and hopefully he'll be able to sort through it and maybe, you know, come back. If they do end up putting him on the IR, they can bring him back for later in the season and maybe he can be useful. I don't know. We shall see.
It's like I said last week, I'll believe it when I see it. And I totally get why they're doing it. When he's out there, he looks like he can play some ball. And with his college history, he seemed like a very interesting selection. I know he's a fan favorite at first, but
yep.
I have to assume that the fans are getting a little bit tired of him. But I can see why we're giving him one last shot for the second or third time.
Yeah, basically. Right, and because they want to give him a chance to succeed. That's basically it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just unfortunate that we had to lose a player or two in the process just so we can keep him around in his embroidered seat in the training room.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression that that was the plan all along. Because otherwise, you let him go and then hope it doesn't blow up in your face again. So, but there you go. Some good news on the injury front. However, we have Brandon Ayuk, D. Ford, Nick Bosa, Aaron Banks, Dre Greenlaw. Those are hard names back and forth.
Say Aaron Banks and it'll be easier.
And I'm good. And Jason Verrett, we're all full participants in Wednesday's practice. That's good news, especially for Ford and Bosa, who are both coming off pretty big injuries from last year. So good to see them. I think Shanahan also mentioned that he doesn't expect either Ford or Bosa to be on a pitch count for the game on Sunday, but that obviously how many snaps that they play will have something to do with the personnel that D'Amico Ryans chooses to use them for and that sort of thing. So I think that's a little gamesmanship to a certain extent. I think you have to be careful with both of them, but yeah, that's good. Good news on all fronts there.
D4 doesn't really play a whole ton of snaps when he's perfectly healthy. So I don't think he'll be on too much of a pitch count as much as he'll probably only be in on obvious passing downs.
Right, yeah.
But like we discussed earlier, the player I'm really excited about returning is Aaron Banks.
Oh, boy.
But then you unfortunately told me that it is not possible to trade him to the Lions before the game starts.
Yeah, yeah, pretty sure not.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I find this news very troubling. So I guess otherwise he will be banished to the...
the inactive list?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Either that or the 8th extra offensive lineman spot. Either way, he'll be on the bench, probably without a uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we could talk about that at another time, but it's neither here nor there.
I will not talk poorly about Aaron Banks today.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
Or anybody else, for that matter. How about that?
There we go. The good news there. The other bit of news is, you know, the biggest shock of the the season so far. Jimmy Garoppolo, officially the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
What?
I know. Shocking, the 49ers? Right? Who could have seen that coming?
What? That's crazy.
Really shocking. So he.
But what about the non-quarterback competition?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. And then as far as Trey Lance is concerned, the team is sort of in a, they're going to wait and see how he reacts to practice throughout the rest of the week and see kind of where he is. Obviously with the practice squad rules returning to the way that they were last season in 2020, they can elevate a practice squad quarterback, Nate Sudfeld, if they need to bring him up.
Championship.
If Lance is not good to go, which would be just like the biggest like wah wah kind of moment for.
Hey, what about juice
for Lance? Oh, that's true. For Lance to miss his first NFL game because of the tiny broken bone in his finger. So yeah.
Wait.
So
actually, we have Kinlaw too.
Well, maybe not.
He claims that he can play quarterback.
I would love to see it. Love to see it. So anyway, fingers crossed for good news. See what I did there? You see what I did there? You got it.
Oh yeah, I did. I was totally ignoring it. Just
yeah, thanks.
Pretending it didn't happen. but yeah, this is why you tune in to the Niner Noise podcast, bringing you all the breaking news from 6 months ago. For example, that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the day one starting quarterback.
Absolutely. No surprise there. I mean, looked like Lance was throwing today in practice. So it's just kind of see if they feel comfortable with him having to go in the game, if he'll be comfortable throwing the ball, that sort of thing. We'll see how it goes. So anyway, as I was saying, for this season, our goal is to have this preview pod be, you know, a kind of short focus on the upcoming opponent. And the way that we're going to do this is, you know, kind of similar to the format that we've used over the last 2 years of the podcast, where we had the sort of one up, one down kind of thing. And I sort of like the dichotomy of like a good and a bad type of thing.
What you don't like is when I turn into 15 up and 15 down.
Yeah, really. And someday I think you'll follow the rules.
Picasso would disapprove.
And so the goal here is to help us look at the 49ers upcoming opponent, looking at one reason for optimism from the 49ers perspective and one reason for concern based specifically about the opponent that's coming up. So for this week, we will look at the Detroit Lions. But before we get into that, we do need to take a short break for a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode of the Niner Noise Podcast is brought to you by the podcast approved Manscaped.com. As you well know, thanks to our boss's shrewd negotiation skills, we have a special offer for all of our beloved Niner Noise Podcast listeners on the one and only Performance Package 4.0, as well as the Perfect Package 4.0. You can check them out at manscaped.com and receive an additional 20% off and free shipping when you use the code FANSIDED20 at checkout. I'm sure you'll agree that I have talked ad nauseum about Manscaped's state-of-the-art grooming products, but today I'm excited to announce their brand spanking new Peak Hygiene Plan, a membership club that delivers your choice of grooming gear from fresh blades to refills of your favorite Manscaped products. Each plan is set to your schedule, from order frequency to the shipping date, and each order is fully customizable, so you'll always receive exactly what you want, exactly when you need it. And to top it off, you can also purchase additional products at discounted VIP pricing. Now, this sounds like a deal that would break the bank, but fear not. The typical fellow manscaper receives a Peak Hygiene Plan shipment every 3 months for the low Manscaped price of, wait for it, less than $5 a month. And as an added bonus, the Peak Hygiene Plan also comes with Manscaped's new Platinum Warranty. As long as you're a member, Manscaped will send you a brand new lawnmower or weed whacker trimmer if anything ever goes wrong for the rest of your life. So jump on this promo because it won't last long. Head over to manscaped.com to get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. 20% off, free shipping, code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com.
All right, we are back. Thanks for our sponsors for bringing us the podcast this week. We certainly appreciate you joining us for the Niner Noise podcast. So, Chris, we're going to start with you, and we're going to start with the good. So, Chris, a reason for optimism for the 49ers for the matchup against the Lions.
I'm pretty optimistic, and not just about this game, but just about life in general. And you know me, I barely have anything negative to say about anybody. I'm just like straight optimism, like it's my middle name.
Yeah, never.
Actually, I have like two middle names. It's like my third middle name. Take that, Jalen. There was actually a time in my life when I was very optimistic, but that time was in the past. Now I'm more of a realist. So aside from that, the 49ers, although they need to travel to the Eastern time zone, get to begin the season and work out the kinks that will always be there for a team at week one and during the beginning of the year. Rookies and players who never played together and new coaches, everyone needing to get on the same page. But the positive thing about that, because that sounds sort of negative, I'm optimistic because they get to play a horrible team or at least an inferior opponent. I'd say at least an inferior opponent, because it's not like we can just determine that they've already won this game. They need to play it. And if they're not up for it and the other team's up for it, then they'll lose it, just like any team would lose to any other team. So you've got to be up for it. And you know, this is a squad that you rarely see just come out totally flat. I mean, I can remember only really a handful of times when it mattered that the Niners came out and they just weren't ready to play. So I think they'll be ready to play. Some of the young guys will be excited. If you have someone like Lenore playing, that could be interesting. It would be a lot more interesting if the Lions had wide receivers. But still, he's a guy that might take maybe a drive or two to realize that he shouldn't be worried about what's happening to him at the moment and instead focus on the game. But you know, all in all, I'm just happy that they're in a position where they're playing somebody that they should beat. And if they don't beat, then I'm just going to cry on your virtual shoulder during the recap episode. Hopefully they won.
Yeah, I think my reason for optimism is focused on the fact that the Lions are not very good either. But you mentioned a sort of sense of newness that is often centering around the week one of the NFL season. There's a lot of new things going on in Detroit this season. They have a new general manager. They have a new coach who apparently likes to talk about biting teams' kneecaps and drinks a whole heck of a lot of espresso, is my understanding. Campbell, big espresso guy and a big kneecap guy.
Well, pounding espressos all day long is probably not the best thing for your health. Given some of our recent coaching hires, I don't think we're in a place to judge.
Dan Campbell's high energy. Let's just put it that way.
I heard that about Chris Forster too.
Yes, but he's new. He's never been a full-time head coach. I think he was the interim head coach for a couple of games in Miami several years ago, but this is his first like full head coaching job, and he's just got that sort of like big energy, sort of rah-rah, like rile him up type of thing going on. So it'll be interesting to see how that works, especially because if you look at this roster for the Lions, there are a lot of holes there, and it's going to be a big rebuilding project for them over the course of the next probably several years. A lot of older players and a lot of younger players, you know, possibly very similar to the way that the 49ers were, you know, back in 2017 when Shanahan and Lynch arrived, but not making comparison there, but in terms of like the way the roster was constructed, I think there's some relationship there. But ultimately, my reason for optimism is that the Rams used to have Jared Goff and Shanahan was able to beat them with supposedly, you know, superior play calling that Sean McVay provides in Los Angeles. But now Jared Goff is in Detroit and he has not Sean McVay anymore. And the Anthony Lynn, the former Chargers coach, is the new offensive coordinator in Detroit, who frankly doesn't strike too much fear into me. And so Goff has lost, I believe, his last four matchups against a Kyle Shanahan team in San Francisco. And the there is a veritable dearth of skill position players in Detroit. A couple of decent players, you know, DeAndre Swift is a good running back. You know, I think TJ Hawkinson is a decent, if underperforming for the number 8 overall pick, tight end. But the wide receiver group is thin and young and or old and not particularly.
That's how you teach you like the first day of GM school.
Strong. I don't know. It's just, it's
perfect.
Yeah. It's, there's not a lot there. The cupboard is not particularly, not bare, but not, the what's in there is, you know,
expired
lesser than. So, I'm optimistic.
Goff's going for like 400 yards this weekend.
Maybe. Actually, I think it's more likely that he has one of those like 97 yard games than 400. But there you go. So yeah, the optimism is mostly because I think there's not really a whole lot to worry about with this Lions team. It's basically the long and the short of that. So all right. So that's the optimism. But Chris, because we have to be reasonable. Is there any reason for concern as we head into this game on Sunday against the Lions?
I'm a little bit concerned about the injury news. You said that you weren't concerned about Kinlaw. A couple days ago, I was trying to figure out what it was, and there was no information about it whatsoever. The beat writers just listed him as injury with no parentheses.
It's a knee injury, I think, is what they said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I know now what it is because they talked about it today. But up until then, like, Shanahan has been totally silent about it. Kinlaw has been totally silent about it. I mean, he's in interviews, not even spoken of it. And they just won't tell anybody what it is. And just a lack of communication concerns me. This is a concern section, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yes, maybe I'm struggling here to come up with the concern.
You're doing a great job. It does. You're doing a great job.
It concerns me. And then as well as Mosley, it's sounding more and more like he's not going to play, which means it's probably going to be Lenore time. I don't think we have Dante Johnson on the roster at this specific moment.
He's on the practice squad, so he yeah. could be elevated for the game. If Mosley is inactive for whatever reason, I think they can elevate. Or if he's inactive for a injury, I believe they can elevate Dante Johnson for the game.
Yeah, so it's always a possibility. And that will continue throughout our lifetimes.
For 4,000 years, Dante Johnson.
Just because it's late on Wednesday night, it's very, very possible that Dante Johnson at 75 years old is going to be like starting corner for the 49ers on Sunday.
Well, either him or Josh Norman, right?
He's not on the practice squad, is he?
No, he's on the roster.
So I read somewhere that he was on the practice squad and doesn't make sense.
Not that I saw. He's on the roster right now, so. I mean, I'm looking at the 49ers website, so I'm going to go with that being accurate. But
I read that from somebody on Twitter when it just broke.
A liar? Did you hear it from a liar?
I think I just heard it from Schefter, one of those NFL insiders. I don't know. Is Schefter a liar?
I don't know. Not usually, but there you go.
Have you noticed that he's now doing fantasy predictions?
You got to do something, I guess.
Stick to your day job, bro. That's all I got to say about that. Because I like you a lot, but oh my goodness. So maybe he was too busy trying to figure out like what player plays where and whatever on earth he does to come up with his predictions. And was lacking on that, but it's probably somebody else anyway. Like Schefter with his name spelled the wrong way. Doesn't really matter. I can't see him playing. Much more likely that Dante Johnson's in, wherever he might be.
They released Dante Johnson initially to sign Josh Norman and then eventually released somebody else and brought back Dante Johnson on the practice squad. So whatever, there you go. 6-1, I guess.
Do you think he ever left the building?
No. I mean, he probably did like for official, like he probably had to leave. Like Dante, you got to go across the street, grab a coffee and then you can come on back and we'll let you back
in. I bet you they have like a shed for him, you know, that's like air conditioned. That's like right off the property.
That's messed up. That's real messed up. He just goes over to Great America. It's all good.
Yeah. They give him the Dante Johnson one-day pass, and he just goes and rides the roller coaster.
Ride a few roller coasters, comes back. Hey, guys, I'm back.
Hey, oh, Dante, good. Have a good time?
We were just about to call
Welcome
you.
Welcome back. Now go ahead and grab your jersey out of the shed, and you're starting on Sunday.
All right, cool. There we go. Get out there. Get out there, buddy.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So concern, I think my concern is basically sort of in line with yours. I think there are a couple of places where depth is going to be an issue. The only reason that like a Kinlaw or a Kevin Givens doesn't give me too much concern is because that's like the deepest part of this team, right? We have, I think, like 10 defensive linemen,
interior defensive linemen, yeah,
on the team. So, right. So if Kinlaw and Givens are both out, we still have DJ Jones and Zach Kerr to sort of fill in. And of course, Eric Armstead is an interior pass rusher on passing down. So not ideal, but it would be okay. But if you lose somebody like Mosley, that's a problem for sure. But the other concern really is just the depth along the offensive line, which we already sort of alluded to. I think if the Lions have a strength, that was mean.
that was extremely mean.
Yeah, but
I would not cut that out, by the way.
That's fine. That's fine. It's probably they have some you know, solid defensive linemen, you know, some older but still solid defensive linemen. Jamie Collins is a linebacker that they have that's on the team. Michael Brockers is on the Lions roster now. So they have, you know, a decent pass rush that if you are not stout enough on the offensive line, that they can cause some trouble. And I have no concerns about our starting offensive line at this particular juncture. I may be proven wrong later, but I think we're in pretty good shape there. But after that, I don't know. So the depth at the offense and the offensive line is a concern, and the secondary, as we already sort of alluded to. I don't think that this team is a team that's going to make us pay for our secondary depth. Let's just say that. But the secondary depth in general is going to be something to pay attention to as we move through the season.
We just need to stay healthy, like we say every year.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. Which is true of anybody. That's true of anybody. All right. So let's go ahead and move into our predictions for the game.
The stakes are high.
This season we've added a little bit. The stakes are high. Well, not really high, but they exist. They didn't exist before. Before we were just saying them and nothing happened.
10 grand limit, right?
Yeah, something like that. So what we decided to do is we decided to make to add a little stakes to this situation. So just like we have in the years past, Chris and I are going to continue to make predictions, wins, losses, scores. But this year we're going to keep a tally of correct picks. So I'm going to keep a track of who says what for each week, and we're going to have the actual score and all that sort of thing. And what we'll do is at the end of the year, the person with the fewer correct predictions will buy a piece of Niner related merch for the winner. So the loser has to buy something for the winner. And, you know, it'll be reasonable. It'll be, you know, like a $20, $25 item maximum kind of thing. And we'll figure that out as we move along.
$2,500.
It's not $2,500. 25, like 2-5.
Oh, it's like Secret Santa.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Who has $2,500?
Let me check my couch.
And then for the tiebreaker, on the off chance that we both predict the same amount of correct games, will be how close we predict the scores. So the scores can't just be sort of like randomly thrown out there. It's sort of the margin of victory type of thing. It's sort of like in soccer, like goal differential if you're tied. So that's the way we're gonna play this.
So it doesn't necessarily matter what score we choose, it's just point differential, correct? I feel like that'd be really difficult otherwise.
In my mind, it was like how close we get to the score that actually takes place. Okay.
You just take both points and look at the difference between the two?
Yeah.
That it matters. It's looking at the same thing, but I just want to know the rules, you know, so I can win.
Yeah. So you want to try to keep it as close to what you actually think the score is as possible.
That makes it tough. Okay.
Yeah, it does. It does. But, you know, we'll try to make it interesting for the listeners out there.
It's all for the listeners.
So I'm going to go ahead and start this one. So for week one of the 2021 NFL season, I am going to predict that the 49ers will win the game 31-9.
Blowout city.
I don't know how in the world this Lions offense is going to score points, especially if the 49ers defense is anything as good as it appears that it might be. I think it's going to be a tough day for the Lions, and I think the Niners find a way to put some points on the board, maybe even defensive points on the board. Got not one, but two 49ers players who might play this year who have pick-sixed Jared Goff.
I know one's Warner. Who's the other one?
Kinlaw.
Oh, geez.
How'd you forget that, man? That's amazing.
I remember the Fred Warner because that like defined our season. That made us
right.
It made it all happen, you know?
Yeah. No, the Kinlaw.
Just funny and awesome.
The Kinlaw one was he was dropping back into pass protection or pass coverage for some reason.
Because that's something you want to do with them.
And somehow Jared Goff missed the giant man in the middle of the field and threw it right to him. It's amazing. And then he rumbled and
that whole defense would make a lot more sense if you had like a skinnier guy out there.
It still worked. That's the amazing part.
Let's grab the biggest guy on the field and drop him into coverage.
So there we go.
Well, he was breathing through his mouth at the time. So.
Maybe. All right, Chris, what's your prediction for the game?
Oh, I need this still.
Yeah, you still got to go.
Well, I'm not coming in that hot because I don't have the, well, let's just keep this PG.
I appreciate
it. I don't have the guts to make a call like that on the first game out. Instead, I'll just play it safer and stick to a score somewhere near the Vegas line. And our friends, and actually they're not my friends at all. I don't even know them. But the Niner Noise fan-sided Minute Media friends and partner, WinBet, who didn't even ask us for a plug here. So you're welcome. It's kind enough to give us the lines each week. And they have this line at 7.5 right now. That's like serious business if you're over a touchdown, because not a lot of people want to bet that a team is going to beat another team by more than a touchdown. You know, you put that back at 7 or 6.5 and it's a totally different ballgame. So the fact that it's over 7 is significant. And the other odd thing is that there's an over under, it's currently 45, but it's been dropping. All the tickets are coming in on the under. So all that is good for the 49ers because basically they're saying that they're going to beat the Lions by more points than originally thought, and the score is going to be lower, which means that the Lions aren't going to score any points. So you very well may be right. I may be spending $2,500 on you.
Yay.
7.5, 45, so 26.25 to 18.75.
Yeah, sure.
Would be the implied score right now. So per science, that's the final score I'm going with.
Yeah, that's not, you can't score 20.
Yeah, I know.
8.25. It's not possible.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to lose this whole thing just because I can't do that.
Because you overthink it.
I never overthink anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's true.
I've never been accused of that ever.
Really?
No. Of course, I was lying. It's on the under, but it really hasn't moved drastically. So probably the big money's not on the under. And it's sort of weird that it's on the under because I can see this being a blowout. So I think I'll give the Niners 0.75 points up to 27.
Okay.
And I really wanted to give him 26 because Robbie Gould's going to miss an extra point, but I didn't want to, you know, go under the 26.25. And then how about 10 points?
Okay.
I was originally thinking 17, so like 3 touchdowns, 2 field goals versus 2 touchdowns and 1 field goal, but you sort of talked me out of that.
Okay. So you're saying 27-10, is that the final?
Yeah, 27-10, so that's way off of what the line is.
Yeah. Well, I had the line higher, but I also went the under as well, so that works out.
This is like serious YOLO time for me right now. So yeah. 27-10, as I just changed my idea on the slot. And that's going to be my best and final offer. So Niners hit the over, but they limit the Detroit offensive juggernaut to a pair of scores. And that forces the total under Vegas expectations. So I think it's not as gutsy of a call as yours.
I mean, it's pretty close. We're not that far apart, really. I just, you know, have them not scoring any touchdowns and getting 4 more points. So it's pretty close.
I feel like that would be a pretty epic blowout if they win by your expected amount. But I mean, I'd be very happy with a 27-10 win. I'm not happy with like a 1-0 win, you know, if you could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. But
you just score an extra point.
2-0 would be really awesome.
And not that
you can't do that.
Pretty sure that's awesome. Don't think you can either. Hey, we kept it short, man.
We did it. We survived the first preview pod of the year. I'm excited.
I had so many good stories to tell too. I
believe you. We'll set you up your own like story time with Chris sub feed or something like that. If you want to like jump in and just record randomly, because we know you love to monologue, and we don't want to take that away from you. So,
but yeah, I don't want to do it and like ruin this podcast more than I already do, so I'm gonna have to do that like on my own.
Well, that's why we're giving you your own feed, so you can worry about that.
Okay. I'll talk to the people at Mini Media. I'm sure they'll be all about that.
We'll let you know where you can find it, listeners. So
my target demographic is gonna be me.
be on the lookout for that.
Consistently gonna be 100%
starting in 2022.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to wait that long. It's like a couple weeks from now.
Okay.
I'm gonna be like,
okay. Then we'll let you know when that comes out, I guess. Thanks.
Story time with Chris.
There you go. I like it. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, check out ninernoise.com for your latest 49ers news and analysis, and be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And as we talked about last week, if you leave us a review and include a question, we'll give you a shout out on the air and answer that question. Just to kind of thank you for that good review. And of course, share the podcast with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.